Chapter 11. Down to our last couple, 2 or 3 weeks here in Ecclesiastes. Solomon's search for meaning in life, apart from God and apart from eternity. Life under the sun. We've come to verse 7 of chapter 11. And I would suggest to you that chapter 11, verse 7, down through chapter 12, verse 7, is really kind of the theme, kind of a depressing theme perhaps, but basically enjoy life because death is coming. That's really what Solomon seems to be saying. Enjoy life because death is coming. Again, he doesn't look at death as a positive thing in the sense of eternity. I'm not saying Solomon didn't believe in eternity, not saying he didn't believe in God, but he's really looking for life and purpose in life apart from God and apart from eternity. So he's just looking at life under the sun, and so he's saying enjoy life because death is coming. So he starts right out in verse 7, chapter 11, "Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun." That's just, again, a poetic way to speak of life. And if you're alive, you are seeing light, you're seeing the sun, and the light is sweet. In other words, he's basically saying it's good to be alive, and you need to enjoy life. He's been searching for purpose in life throughout this study of Ecclesiastes, and the best he comes up with is basically do your best to enjoy life. Do your best to enjoy what you have. He's not able to really give much reason for that joy apart from God and apart from eternity, but he basically is just saying, do your best to enjoy life. It's good to be alive and try to enjoy life best you can. Really, he tends to look at the joy of life based upon circumstances, and we can be caught up in that ourselves. You know, a lot of people aren't happy, and they think they can be happy if their circumstances change. And if that thought ever crosses your mind, you know, if I would just, boy, life would be so much better if I could just have a different job. Or life would just be so much better if I could live in a different place. Or life would be so much better if I just had a different husband or a different wife. You know, if I change my circumstances, life will be so much better. If I change my circumstances, I'll be happier. And if that thought ever crosses your mind, you need to stop and recognize that that is worldly, carnal, ungodly, unbiblical thinking. Changing your circumstances will never make you happy. Not in the long run. Oh, for a moment, it may give you some euphoria. But ultimately, circumstances is not what's going to make you happy or sad or anything else for the long term. And so if that thought ever crosses your mind, if things would change, my circumstances would change, then I could be happy. Know that that is unbiblical thinking. Everywhere in Scripture, we're told, you know, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. It's not rejoice in your circumstances. It's not rejoice in your job. It's not rejoice in your spouse. It's rejoice in the Lord. And the Lord doesn't change. And the Lord's there regardless of the circumstances. His promises are there regardless of the circumstances. His promise of eternity is there regardless of your circumstances. So it's all about the Lord. Now, again, Solomon left the Lord out of it. And so he's just saying here, do the best you can to enjoy life. We as believers need to recognize that we can enjoy life, but only in the Lord, not in our circumstances. Now, I see a lot of people that just they come and they're discouraged, they're depressed, they're just not happy, and they think that changing their circumstances is going to make a difference. Again, for a short time it may, but in the long run it'll never work. And that's what Solomon's struggling with. So verse 7 is about life. It's good to be alive. The best you can do is try to enjoy life. But, verse 8, contrast, if a man live many years and rejoice in them, yet let him remember the days of darkness. The days of darkness here is the days of death. In other words, here's a guy, he's living a long life, he has found some joy in life, he has rejoiced in life, and yet Solomon puts this big damper on it, but remember, death is coming. So, in essence, he's saying, you're not going to be able to rejoice much in life because death is coming. You got this man who's living many years, he's rejoicing in them, yet he needs to remember that the days of darkness are coming. Death is coming. For they shall be many. All that comes is vanity. They shall be many, referring to the days of death. The days of death will be many. In other words, again, not thinking about eternity. At this point, he's looking at life under the sun, and death is just the end of that life under the sun, and that death is going to be many days. In other words, you may live many days, and you may rejoice in those days, but remember, death is coming, and the days of death are longer than the days of life. Many are the days, he says. They shall be many. All that comes is vanity. Again, death is coming, and all that comes in death is meaningless. He's looking at life under the sun. When death comes, it's all over. It's meaningless. There's nothing left under the sun for the man who dies. And so you're living a long life and you're rejoicing that life, but remember, death is coming and death is longer than life, and in death, it's meaningless. You can't accomplish anything in death. Under the sun, you can't accomplish anything. And so it's meaningless. The days of death shall be many. Our earthly joys are fleeting, so just remember, death is coming. And death is meaningless because you cannot accomplish anything in death. Verse 9, now he goes to the young man. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. And walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know this, that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. Rejoice, young man, in your childhood, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your young manhood. Two different words are used there, childhood and young manhood. And he says, rejoice in your childhood, let your heart be cheerful in the days of your young manhood. Nothing wrong with that. That's, you know, rejoice in life. Again, he's not focused on the right thing, but from our perspective as believers, we would agree with that. As a child, as a young man, rejoice in life. Rejoice in what God's given you. Solomon saying, rejoice in the days of your youth. Rejoice in your childhood. But then he says, and walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. In other words, he's basically saying, follow your heart and follow your dreams. You know, that's kind of the, if you're going to speak at a graduation service, that's what people tell you. You know, follow your heart, follow your dreams. And Solomon's kind of saying the same thing here. Follow your heart, follow your dreams. But then he says, but remember, God will bring judgment. So it's kind of like he's going back to what he said in chapter 7, this whole thought of moderation. You know, don't be righteous over much, but don't be wicked over much. Kind of that moderation thought. And here he's saying, you know, follow your heart, follow your dreams, but remember, God is going to bring judgment. So don't go, you know, unbridled in following your heart and following your dreams. You know, keep that in balance, keep that in moderation, because God will bring judgment also. Again, he's just looking at life under the sun. And he's basically teaching a thought of moderation here. Follow your heart, follow your dreams, but keep it in line with an understanding that God's going to bring judgment. Now, the judgment that he speaks of here, again, Can't emphasize it enough. It's judgment under the sun. He's not talking about eternal judgment. He's keeping eternity out of the picture. Throughout this book of Ecclesiastes, he's addressed, you know, some bad things can happen in this life. And God can bring about those bad things in this life. And so what he's saying is, if you follow your heart and follow your dreams and it's unbridled, there will be consequences. And that's what really he addresses then in verse 10. The consequences. Therefore, he's drawing that conclusion. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. He's talking about the excesses of youth. Don't follow the excesses of youth because it will bring sorrow. It will bring pain. That's the consequences of excess. So don't follow the excesses of youth because it will bring sorrow and it will bring pain. And you'll soon realize that the excesses of youth was meaningless. For childhood and youth are vanity. Childhood and youth are meaningless. If you follow the excesses of youth, there will be consequences, and you'll soon realize that it wasn't worth it. It was meaningless to follow the excesses of youth. Actually, that's not bad advice. The moderation part is not good advice because we shouldn't be moderate. We should be righteous over much. We shouldn't be. We should obviously recognize that God is in control and follow Him. But this idea that the excesses of youth and the excesses of the lust of youth will have consequences, and we will soon find out that it was meaningless. That's good advice. Any questions about those four verses? Emphasizing the life under the sun. And he's saying, enjoy it the best you can, but remember death is coming. Don't be excessive in your youth because there are consequences and you'll soon find out it's all meaningless. That's kind of the conclusion that Solomon draws. We need to draw other conclusions. We need to look at it from a different perspective and at the same time recognize that the excesses of youth are meaningless and do have consequences. And yes, death is coming. And knowing that death is coming is all the more reason for us as believers to serve God faithfully now and be righteous over much. Serve Him faithfully. Any questions or comments? Continues on the same theme as you move into chapter 12. I'm not sure a chapter division here was the best, because he's still really addressing death is coming. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw near, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before old age sets in and you have no pleasure in them. The next seven verses here are really depressing if you're looking at it from Solomon's perspective. Because he begins now to describe old age. And if you look at what Solomon says about old age, there isn't any of us want to get there. It's really depressing. And so as we enter into this section, we need to again understand Solomon's talking about life under the sun. He's leaving God out of the picture. That's not us. As we look to old age, we don't have to look at it as Solomon does here. Yes, the body is going to fail us. And he talks about that. But let me ask you this question. Is God's grace sufficient for old age? And the answer is yes. Solomon leaves that out of the picture completely. God's grace is sufficient for old age. And so, yes, the body's going to fail as he describes here, but it's not something we need to fear. It's something that we can recognize that God's grace will be just sufficient, just as sufficient then as it is now. And again, that command, rejoice in the Lord always, except for when you get old. Doesn't say that, does it? Rejoice in the Lord always. So if you just look at this as life under the sun, as Solomon, these next few verses can be really depressing, but when we look at it from the biblical perspective, from God's perspective, it's not depressing. We know God's in control and he will be with us in old age and his grace will be sufficient and we can rejoice in old age as well. So he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. What's he mean by that? Is all of a sudden Solomon saying, okay, now let's start looking at God? He hasn't really looked at God throughout this. Not that he denies God, but that hasn't been his major focus. He's been looking at life under the sun apart from God, apart from eternity. And now all of a sudden he's saying, okay, now let's look at God. I don't think that's what he's saying here. When he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, I think he basically is just, again, this is poetry. I think basically he's just saying, remember you're a created being and you're going to die. I know it's kind of depressing, but I think that's all he's saying here. Remember in your youth that you are a created being and you're going to die. He's already emphasized that up earlier in verse 8 when he says, if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. He's living life. He's got a long life. He's rejoicing in that life. But hey, let me remind you, you're going to die. And now he says, okay, youth, young person, remember in your youth, as you're enjoying life, remember you're a created being and you're going to die. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, while the days come not, nor the years draw near, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. The days are coming when you're not going to enjoy life. So in essence, he's saying, enjoy it now, but remember, the days are coming when you're not going to enjoy life. Old age is coming. You're a created being. It's not, I don't believe, a call to lift up our eyes to God and look beyond life under the sun. I don't think that's where Solomon's going here at all. He's simply saying, you're a created being. You are going to get old, and you're going to die. Says here, verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars are not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In other words, remember your Creator. Remember you're a created being in the days of your youth when you're young, before you get to old age and you have no pleasure in those days, or before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened. That's just talking again about, you know, light is usually associated with joy and life and happiness. And he says, in your youth, you've got the sun, the moon, the stars, the lights. It's just referring to life. But the time's coming when that light of life is going to diminish. The joy of life is going to diminish. So he's saying, remember your Creator, remember you're a created being, enjoy life when you can, but those days are coming when life is going to be pretty dark, is really what he's saying. Life is going to get dark. And the clouds return after the rain. Again, usually you think, okay, the rain comes through, it clears up, and you have nice, bright, sunny skies. And so you go through life, and yeah, you have the storms of life, but in your youth, the storms of life pass and the sunny skies break out. But guess what? When you get old, it's always cloudy. Isn't this great? I mean, isn't Solomon just really being encouraging here? He says, the time's coming when the light of life isn't going to be seen. The joy is going to diminish. And it's going to be increasing cloudiness and doom in life. Real encouraging, Solomon. So now he begins to give a description of old age. Again, it's very poetic, very metaphoric, as he gives this description of old age. In verse 3, he says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. What are the keepers of the house? Maybe you have some notes in your Bible there. What are the keepers of the house that tremble in old age? There you go. The arms and hands. They're the keepers of the house. As you get older, you tend to shake some. And the keepers of the house, he says, begin to tremble, referring to the arms and the legs in old age, or the arms and the hands in old age. As you get older, they tremble. Keepers of the house, you know, the hands and arms. The word keepers here is really the words guard. You know, the hands and the arms, they tend to guard us and protect us. You know, if you fall, what do? Catch yourself with your hands. Or if something's thrown at you, what do? You protect yourself with your arms and your hands. Or somebody goes to hit you, guard yourself. So it's the keepers of the house. But as you get older, those keepers of the house begin to tremble. They aren't very good at keeping the house. As you get older, you fall and you try to catch yourself and you're going to break something. And so the keepers of the house begin to tremble. And the strong men shall bow themselves. What are the strong men? Right here. The legs. The legs are the strong men. That's what in youth holds you up. That's your strength as you walk and run and are able to work because of the strength of your legs. Some of the biggest muscles in the body are in the legs. So they're the strong men, but as you get older, the legs begin to weaken. They become very feeble. They begin to bow down. They don't have the strength that they once had. I like this next one. And the grinders cease because they are few. What are the grinders? The teeth. You don't have as many of them when you get older. You start losing your teeth. I've got one gone already. And the dentist keeps telling me that probably another one's going to have to come out very soon. The grinders, they get fewer and fewer. They don't work as well. You got to gum your food instead of chew it, I guess. The grinders cease because they are few. And those that look out of the windows are darkened. That seems to be pretty obvious. The eyes. How many of us need glasses, reading glasses? I do. I mean, my contacts are right now not great close up and not good distance, but good enough for both that I'm okay. But if I really need to look at something close, I got to put glasses on. And it's really getting more and more frustrating all the time because I don't like carrying glasses. And so I'm working on something all at once. I can't see a thing. The windows are darkened. Four. This is a little bit confusing, perhaps. And if you have a King James translation, there's a semicolon after the word streets. It says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, and then a semicolon. And then it says, when the sound of the grinding is low. I think those two phrases really go together. And if you have a different translation, they put them together. So it's kind of the idea, the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. I think it's talking about the ears, the doors of the street, and you're not able to hear the normal sounds of life. The doors to the street are shut in the sense of the streets here referring to just the normal sounds of life. And you don't hear the, the grinding is low. If you want to look at it that way, the grinding of life, you don't hear it as well anymore. The ears begin to fail. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. I think it's basically just saying here the thought of, as you get older, you tend to wake up earlier and get up earlier. You know, when you're a teenager, it's nothing to sleep in until, you know, 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't possibly do that anymore. And not just because I'm busy. My back hurts and my shoulder hurts and I got to get out of bed. I can't lay there anymore. You know, by 6 o'clock in the morning, man, I'm hurting. I got to get up and stretch or something. And I believe, again, that's basically what he's referring to here, that it's just rising up early as you get older. I remember my mom, she got to the point, she said, I wake up at 3 o'clock every morning and I can't get back to sleep. And so after a while, she just started getting up because she couldn't get back to sleep. And then it's not like she was sleeping all day long or anything. She just couldn't sleep in. What's that? Yeah, you can't sleep at night sometimes. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. If you have an NIV, I don't remember exactly how it's translated there, but they leave the word daughters out. And that's really unfortunate because that is the thought here. The daughters of music shall be brought low. I really think there it's just talking about the body organs that produce music. In other words, your vocal cords, your tongue, your lips, even your lungs. You know, that's what produces music. And all of that begins to fail. You're not able to sing like you once did. The daughters of music, those organs that produce music begin to fail. Also, and they shall be afraid of that which is high. Afraid of heights. Again, some debate as to what Solomon may be referring to here. Is it literally afraid of heights? Or is it more the idea in a poetic way of simply saying afraid of falling? So as you get older, you know that, if you fall, that can be very disastrous in old age. And so it may just be the idea of being afraid to fall. And it says, and fears shall be in the way, almost afraid to venture out. Because, again, you know that just one stumble could... Again, I think probably most of us have seen this before. I remember my mother. She was over at the manor and she fell. And nothing was broken. She wasn't hurt. They were able to get her and they did x-rays and everything else, but nothing was broke. She seemed fine, but you began to see a marked decline. And she only lived about a month after that. A fall in old age can be very destructive. And we've all seen someone fall and break a hip, and that's the beginning of the end too in old age. And I think, again, that's what he's talking about here, afraid of falling, afraid of venturing out because there's a lot of dangers out there for older folks that can be very destructive. The almond tree shall flourish. Almond trees, when they blossomed, were white. So it's referring to the white hair. And what's interesting, an almond tree would blossom in the wintertime. And so it's appropriate that Solomon would use that example here of in the winter of life, our hair whitens. If we have hair, it whitens. Some of us just lose it. And which obviously, the almond tree, it would blossom. And when it would blossom, it would blossom on it didn't have any leaves. By the time the almond tree blossomed, it would turn white, but it was on a bare stick without leaves. And then when that fell off, than it was just a bare stick. Kind of appropriate. The almond tree blossoms, you have the white hair, and then falls off, you don't have any hair. The almond tree shall flourish. The grasshopper shall be a burden. Again, depending on your translation, probably more the idea here, it says the grasshopper, some of your translations may say the grasshopper drags himself, something along those lines. Probably a better translation. The idea being, you know, when a grasshopper or a locust is first hatched, it has no wings. And so therefore it just drags itself along. And speaking of the slow pace of old age, difficult to get around. And desire shall fail. The appetites fail. You get older and you don't have the same appetite that you once did. Because man goes to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. Man goes to his long home. Good translation, but again, poetic. It's talking about death. The long home or the eternal home. Again, not talking about our eternal home in heaven. Solomon's talking about eternal home in the grave, so to speak. In other words, your life under the sun is over and it's over forever. That's the long home. It's long in duration is what he's referring to here when he speaks of the long home. It's talking about death. And the mourners go about in the streets. The mourners are mourning your death. Very quickly, let me just conclude with verses 6 and 7 because they're pretty self-explanatory. The silver cord is loosed, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher is broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. The silver cord is loose and the golden bowl is broken. I think it's talking about the golden bowl is a lamp holding the oil, and the silver cord is the lamp is hanging from that silver cord. And it's a depiction of death. This silver cord breaks. The golden bowl, the lamp holding the oil, falls to the ground. It breaks and the light is extinguished. I think that's what he's referring to here. The silver cord holding the lamp breaks and the light is extinguished as the golden bowl breaks. So it's just a picturesque way of describing death, and the light of life is extinguished. Or he talks about the pitcher is broken at the fountain. You go to a spring with a pitcher and you dip water out of the spring with that pitcher, and then somehow you bang that pitcher on the rock and the pitcher breaks and you lose the water, a pitcher of death. Death is over. No more life in the pitcher. No more life in the body. Or the wheel is broken at the cistern. You go to a well and there's a wheel on the well that you lower the bucket down into the well, and then you turn the wheel to bring the bucket of water up out of the well, but then the wheel breaks and the bucket of water falls to the bottom of the well and no water. Again, a picture of death as there's no water for life. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. An obvious reference to Genesis, when man was created out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The word spirit here is the word breath. So the body returns to the dust from whence it was made, and the breath returns to God who gave it. God breathed into man the breath of life, and now the breath of life is gone, and the breath returns to God. So it's not, again, he's not really talking the spirit as we would think of, as we believe, as believers. You know, when we die, the spirit goes back to God, and our spirit's with God, and then the spirit and body are going to be reunited. Solomon's not talking about that. He's simply saying the body goes to the dust, and the breath of life goes back to God. That's Solomon's description of old age and death. Again, kind of depressing in the very next verse. Meaningless, meaningless, says the preacher, all is meaningless. You leave God out of the picture, you leave eternity out of the picture, and that's what you're left with. As believers, we're not left with that. We do have an eternity. We do have a God who loves us. And the God's grace is sufficient in old age. And we can rejoice in Him always. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the hope that we do have in Jesus Christ. And thank you for the hope that we have for the future, eternity with you. But also the hope that we have in this life. That your grace is sufficient. And though the body fail us, and though there may be difficulties, and there may be those rain clouds, and there may be those struggles, and yet, Father, you have promised that you would always be with us. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, for thou art with us. May we have that faith, increase our faith. Thank you for your grace. And may we not view life simply as Solomon saw it, but may we view it from your perspective and from your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.